104. This is the Dave Jamieson Show. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with you here. Game 2, Oilers Flames later tonight. Lots of Battle of Alberta discussion so far through the first hour of the show. We'll continue with that throughout this hour of the show as well. Tom Gazzola of the Don Wheaton GMOI pre- and post-game shows, pre-game starting 6:30 tonight. He will join us momentarily live from the Saddle Dome as there was lots going on at the Oilers skate, so we'll see his thoughts on the skate as well as what the players and coaches said afterwards. Reminder that the Edmonton Oil Kings tonight, they're in Winnipeg to take on the Ice. It's the start of the Eastern Conference Finals. It's always weird saying Edmonton and Eastern Conference, but they're in the Eastern Conference Finals of the WHL. That series getting going later tonight out in Winnipeg as well. And coming up at 1:40, we do have Gabriel Bitar of FC Edmonton. If you're looking for something to do on Sunday, it's going to be a beautiful day, 17, sunny, a perfect doubleheader of sports in our city, as you've got the Eddies hosting Atletico Ottawa at 2 o'clock down at Clark. Soccer only takes 2 hours. You're done by 4. Head right downtown. Get to a nice establishment, if you will, or go anywhere if you want, and get into a spot that's full. 6 o'clock Oilers game. If you're going to the game, perfect to just go get a bite and then go to it. If you're going to the Moss Pit, same type of thing. Or you can just stay at that establishment you're at the whole day. As for today, mix in those waters. Take it easy. It's a late start, 8:50. Yaremchuk thinks 1-1 water to drink today before the game. I think 2-1. Jeff's at 4-1. Another listener thinks if it's light beer, 5-1. What was the other one that we saw? Gin sodas truly hydrate you as you go. There's some more advice, but, you know, pace yourself. 8:50 start. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We might have, you know, overtime. You never know. So you want to be ready to go for the game tonight. You don't want to be missing the second game of the Battle of Alberta, which, in one way, it can't be as chaotic as game one, but it still should be a lot of fun. Let's head down to the Saddle Dome right now as Tom Gazzola of that Don Wheaton GMOI pre- and post-game shows joins us. And Tommy, we spent a lot of that first hour talking about what we've seen through Twitter about the lines at the Oilers morning skate. What happened at morning skate and your thoughts on everything that we saw at the morning skate?
Well, we saw a lot more participation from more players here at the Saddle Dome. Obviously, going into game one, extremely optional, as opposed to today where a lot of guys, if it was optional, they were out there and going through the paces, maybe trying to switch it up when it comes to preparation, have a better start tonight. You know how it is. It's a mental grind as well as a physical grind in the playoffs. So, you know, we saw some line combinations that were interesting. It's funny because Jay Woodcroft, who just finished up his pregame presser, said you weren't reading too much into the lines. And obviously he knows what he's doing. He's playing the games right now. And even when we were watching the lines at the morning skate, Maddie, we thought to ourselves, this is maybe a little bit of deception going on. So, you know, obviously Devin Shore with the McDavid-Kane line, that's a placeholder. We know that for sure. We're wondering, is Josh Archibald going to stay in? He didn't play a ton. He played, 8 minutes in game one. So is Jay Woodcroft going to go back to 12-6, or is he going to stick with 11-7? And then the other thing was we saw Warren Fogle take a regular rep and run through on a line this morning as well. So there's a few little wrinkles that were out there at the morning skate. But because of what we've seen over, the last week and a half leading into this game, you go, okay, I see it. I recognize what's going on. And how much of it can we actually believe? So it'll be one of those situations, again, where we get to warm up. And we'll be into our final segment of the Don Wheaton GM on White pregame show. And we're going to say, we speculated, now we know, because the guys are on the ice for warm-up, and here's how they will roll out. So it's just all fodder right now. We're going to talk about it, have fun with it. But again, I think the smoke screens are being thrown up by both coaches, and that's just the game within the game, and we're fully aware of that.
Well, we'll pretend like these are the lines that we are going to see tonight. One of the changes that we also saw was Puljujarvi in the top six, Yamamoto going to the bottom six. What do you make of that change? You know, because some people would be looking the opposite, going Puljujarvi should be coming out of the lineup, not going and getting promoted to a top six right now.
Yeah, I mean, yes, at Puljujarvi, he's trying, but has been largely ineffective in the postseason. So when you see something like that, you go, how does this stack up? How does this add up and make sense? And kind of doesn't. So that's another one of those situations where it's like you've got Yamamoto, who's working hard. Obviously, he's a little buzzsaw out there at times. He's had some offensive success. He had that goal to equalize it briefly in game one. And so unless Jay Woodcroft is trying to change up the build and structure of his lines, I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing something more similar to what we saw in the last few games when it comes to Yamamoto playing ahead of Jesse Puljujärvi.
What else did you hear from the players and the coaches after they spoke with you guys in the media?
Well, I mean, Daryl Sutter was talking about the Preakness, very excited about that. he actually even smiled, which was funny, and he was at his best. And Jay Woodcroft was, you know what, you could tell he's being a little bit apprehensive in his pregame pressers, but I'm enjoying Daryl Sutter right now. And listen, this is kind of one of those funny little aside stories, but there was talk about Ben Stelter and Matthew Tkachuk doing a video for Ben, and Ben doing that video of Matthew Tkachuk. And then Daryl Sutter was asked about the Tkachuk brothers being here. You got Brady in the crowd, and we saw Keith Tkachuk at the practice a couple days ago. And he was asked about his brothers when they were in Stanley Cup finals and winning cups. And he said, yeah, we would watch and we would support them. We didn't go to the games because we were working on the farm. Someone had to be on the tractor on Tuesday. So that was just kind of a funny little moment that we had a chuckle about. But obviously it's an aside from the game. It's been an interesting build-up to this game too, Matthew. Like, I fully expect Edmonton to bounce back strong. I fully expect Mike Smith to not let in two of the first three shots and three of the first 10 and 6:05 worth of work. I think Markstrom will be sharper, and we'll see if the Oilers can actually push back a little bit physically. They were so off in that game. Another joke that's been kind of thrown around among the media is, yeah, the Oilers were losing 6-6 early in that third period. I mean, did you really feel that they had a chance of taking over that game, even when Yamamoto tied it? So the joke is, it felt like they were losing 6-6 at that point. And as we saw a minute and a half after the Yamamoto goal, Calgary took the lead again. So I think we're going to expect a sharper game from both teams. And let's see if the physicality kicks up from the Oilers' standpoint. They know they have a lot of work to do after what was a lackluster performance in game one. I mean, the starts can't get any worse, Matty.
Well, and that's where I was going to go next. And we're Tom Gazzola, Don Wee, and GMOA pregame show, 6:30 tonight. Tim Connor, Matt Cassin will get you set for the game. 8:30 is broadcast start, I guess. 8:50 will be puck drop. I will have a pregame show from 6 until 6:30. But, like, if you honestly had a guess whether the Oilers are going to have a good start or not, not whether they should or shouldn't, but based on what we've seen, I guess, throughout the season, but I'll just go to the playoffs, don't you kind of lean towards they're still not going to have a good start going into this game? Because that's what we've seen most of the series against the LA Kings and through game one against the Flames.
Yeah, you could even make the argument that 6 of their 8 games, they had bad starts in the playoffs so far. Is it likely they have another bad start? Yeah, probably. But is it impossible for them to come out of the gates better? No, because they've done it. They did it recently. They did it in game 6 and 7 against LA. Who's to say you can't do it against the Calgary Flames, a team which you have beaten a couple of times this season? Yeah, it was earlier in the year. Yes, it was on home ice. It just, they were so bad in that first game early and then for huge portions the rest of the way. Like, they I feel like, are somewhat ashamed and slightly embarrassed that should wake themselves up. I mean, they were their own worst enemies. And it can't get any worse again with that start. So, yeah, I fully expect a better start. Now, is it good enough to maybe take the lead? We'll find out. They're capable. And I do think they will be pushing back in this game, though.
You're an experienced vet at this. On Saturday when we're doing the pregame show, when was it? When were you saying mixing the waters? Was that the postgame show?
Yeah.
That was post-game show. That was during the post-game show. We got that trending and stuff, mixing the waters. Today, like, it's an 8:50 puck drop. People are going to have to pace themselves. We got a marathon today. Remchuk even pointed out this could go into overtime. And one guy, listener, he was in his parking lot for lunch at work, and he was drinking, and he says he's going back to work. So I'm now going with that. Initially, I said pace yourself. Now I'm trying to get the mix of your waters in. But we're talking, what's the good ratio leading up to puck drop of drinks to water? I said 2-1.
Yeah.
Yaremchuk went 1-1 because it could be a long overtime game, and you need to, you know, you don't want to be out by the third overtime if it goes that way. Jeff's going 4-1. What do you think, Tommy, is the right mix, waters to drinks, throughout this day to get you ready for game two tonight?
Why am I not surprised Walker postgame Rangers saying 4-1 when it comes to drinks to waters? I mean, my goodness, go home if you're not going hard, right, Jeff Walker? So I think 2-1 is a safe way to go about it. I was going to think maybe 3-1, but it could be a marathon tonight. You're looking at basically a 9 o'clock puck drop. It's Friday. People are pumped up. I think the weather might be okay. I hear it's like rainy and then little bits of sun. So people want to fire it up for the weekend. Playoff hockey gets them going. I have talked to a lot of people and friends and around the city that said that they're hurting from all the hoopla and enjoyment that they're partaking in when it comes to the playoffs. So 2-1's a good way to go. If it wasn't the second round of the playoffs, I'd say 3-1, but 2-1's a safe way to do it without killing yourself tomorrow, right?
Exactly. And one, it's not exactly as much as killing yourself tomorrow, just being able to watch the game tonight.
Yeah,
that's the thing exactly. I'm focused on is you've got a long weekend ahead for people. They've got 3 days to recover if they need to. It's just making sure you see the end of the game tonight.
Yeah. Hey, it is May long weekend. I forget. Like, I can't even believe it. I forgot it was the weekend until I actually looked at my calendar. I'm like, oh, it's Friday. Wow. I mean, we're just in game day, non-game day, game day, non-game day. And it just happens to be, I can't believe it's already May 20th, to be honest with you. That's how entrenched we are and focused on these playoffs, Matthew.
I haven't even swung my clubs yet. And Monday, I'm going to the range if I have to. Won't be going to where you go, but I'm going to the range on Monday. Tommy, enjoy the game tonight. We'll be listening at 6:30 for the Donwin GMO White pregame show, and we'll be listening for the postgame show.
Thank you, Matty. Can't wait.
There's Tom Gazzola, TSN at 1260 right there. This text, 1-1 is the right ratio, but add in a Jaeger bomb every two beers. It'll be a lot late night after all from the Heathen. So there you go.
That's a decent way to go.
1-1, and then add
the Jaeger in there every once in a while. That'll get right on top of you.
Mark says, I played U Sports football for the Dinos. That's a good football program in U Sports. When we went out, the coaching staff demanded a 1-1 water drink ratio. That's how you
survive. So that's
survive.
The professional way. Then.
That's how the athletes do it. He's Jeff Walker. I'm Matt Awanek. We'll continue with your text. James H. Brown inbox up next. Canada's anchor, James Duthie from TSN. He will stop by on the Dave Jamieson Show on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. 1:21. This is the Dave Jamieson Show. Matt Awanek, Jeff Walker with you here. Coming up 1:40, we will talk a little bit of Eddies. Gabriel Bittar will join us. He's a forward with the Eddies, who have a game on Sunday, 2 o'clock at Clark. 6 o'clock Oiler game for game 3. Doubleheader in this city. It'd be great for your sports fan looking for something to do. We'll stay kind of in the same area. You're pretty close to downtown at Clark. Stop at a nice establishment. Be a good Sunday. But tonight we got an Oiler game, and we got a Don Wee and GMO White pregame show coming up 6:30 later tonight. 6 o'clock, we'll have a pregame show. But before that, 2 to 6, we got the Jason Greger Show. Jason Greger, Jason Strudwick, Connor Halley. They'll get you set for that game. We're talking about being ready for that game yourselves tonight. Jet Label, Doug, Hey Boys, Jaeger's the nectar of the gods. But tonight we need to dip into the brandy shots for this Oiler game. Go Oilers, go, bring the series back up tied. Let's go. It is a long marathon. You know, we got to get... You know, got to get to the game, and then you got to make sure you get through the game. And joining us now, we will catch up with TSN's James Duthie, brought to you by Fuse Kitchen and Bar. Enjoy a fine dining experience while watching the game at Fuse Kitchen and Bar, now open in Century Park. Try the smoked old-fashioned. James, before we get into the actual hockey, I want to get your take on something that we've been discussing on the show today. I know it's a later start for you guys out east, but for us, it seems like an 8:50 puck drop for the Oiler game. It's a Friday before a long weekend. A lot of people are partaking in some drinking prior, and I'm trying to make sure people pace themselves and mix in some waters, and we're trying to figure out what's the good ratio of drinks to water so you get to the game, watch the game, and finish the game, which could go into overtime. I felt like 2-1. Another person on our show earlier today said 1-1. My producer says 4-1. What's the James Duthie approved drinks to water ratio to be ready for the game tonight and finish the game tonight?
I'm a purist, Matt. I've always been a 1-1 guy. But as I age, I probably need to do, if I was, you know, an Oilers fan in the heat of it today, I'd have to go. That's a tough one. Like, if you're an Oilers fan out east, man, we're talking about a 10:50 local start time for us. So somebody could pass out and wake back up and be ready to go. I think 1-to-1, you're fine. As long as, you know, nice large water between every drink and stamina will take place. But you're right. What a perfect scenario with a long weekend and ahead and a late start like that. I'm sure the crowd in Calgary is going to be well-oiled.
Yeah, I think all the crowds everywhere in this, whatever establishment in the Saddle Dome here in Edmonton, they're going to be something special in those crowds. How's it been for you? Like, this is the only Canadian series, you know, the two Canadian teams left. It's the only series that's going to have the biggest focus on TSN. How are you handling these late starts?
Yeah, it's honestly, no one is going to feel any sympathy for me. But I'm a guy who I've gotten really soft as I've gotten older, Matt. So I kind of go to bed around 11:15, 11:30 most nights where I'm not working. So this is a bit of a challenge when it's, and you know the whole broadcaster thing of not cheering for overtime.
Yeah.
Some do it more vocally than others. But whenever someone asks, who do you want to win something, I can guarantee you that 90% of the broadcasters, you know, not involved with the Oilers or the Flames, all they cheer for is no overtime. They don't care who wins as long as there's no overtime. So I have a rough time with it, but I'm really glad for this that they are the only two Canadian teams left. And Leaf fans will probably be angry with me for that. But I just think if you're going to have this for the first time since 91, that it has to be the only focus in Canada. It deserves all of that. So I think it's a perfect situation here with the only two Canadian teams left being in Alberta and going head-to-head. Spectacular.
You know, and game one, though, it like kind of lived up to it in terms of entertainment value with just what was a chaotic game. Do you have any words to be able to describe what you saw on Wednesday in game one between these two teams?
So this will probably be a minority opinion, except maybe Oilers fans will share my opinion. I didn't like that game. I mean, it was crazy and chaotic, and, you know, it had social media going nuts. But in the end, I felt it left me kind of empty. There's a point, you know, there's wildly entertaining games, and then there's just, like, crazy games. To me, there was the defense and the goaltending was so bad that the goals just kind of stopped meaning anything to me at a certain point. I mean, I think when it was maybe, was it 6-6 or 5-5?
It went 6-6 early in the third.
Yeah. So maybe at that point I was like, well, this is fantastic. But by the time it was over, I was left thinking, you know, I really hope game two is a, you know, a little classic 3-2 kind of hockey game, because as much as the goals were neat and everything, I didn't feel like it was that great a game. I felt like it was a crazy game, but I didn't feel like it was a good game. And so I've decided I prefer, you know, a 4-3 or 3-2 or something like that. I hope we get some of that tonight.
With James Duthie of TSN, I want to get an outsider's opinion on this, because here in the city, when it comes to the Oilers, all year there's always been a talk, the Oilers having poor starts to games. And in these playoffs, there have been a lot of very poor starts, and evident on Wednesday with two goals in the first 51 seconds or so. For, you know, you've covered hockey for a long time. Is that on the players to be ready to go for a game, or is that on the coach in your eyes?
I think it's 100% on the players. I really think coaches in 2022, they matter in little ways. You know, perhaps an adjustment on matchups or the power play or, you know, little things like that, when to call a timeout. But beyond that, I think it's 100% on the players. And I'm not trying to, you know, lessen the role of coaches, but I think for the most part, they're just, you know, they're 10% of the equation, maybe 5% of the equation in a game like that. And so I would never blame the coach for a team being ready. And if any player ever tried to do that, I think that's an absolute lame cop-out. You have to look, these guys are professionals, and there is no reason not to be ready for that opening puck drop. And you're right, that has been an issue for Edmonton, and I'm not sure what causes it, you see teams go through these stretches like that. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I'm sure they say the right things and they're pumped when they come out of the dressing room. So I'm not sure why when the puck drops there, it's just not there. But it's 100% on the players.
Who on the panel makes sure everyone on the panel is pumped up, ready to go for it? Who's the main like leader of you guys that if somebody's not looking right, they make sure you're ready to go? Is it you?
Well, you see, now you're going to make me sound like I'm a bragger. I mean, I think I have to because Pooley, I would say, is he's a pro's pro. Dave Poulin is always ready, always the first guy on set, sort of ready to go. Whenever I walk in, we're all together watching the game a few feet from our set when we do the post game. But in a pregame situation, whenever I arrive on the set, he's always already there. So I would give him credit for that. The O-Dog is the guy who slides in about 30 seconds before the hit. Well, granted, usually because he's doing radio, so that's part of it. But, I would give Pooley a lot of credit for, the guy's the former captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, so you got to look to him for leadership.
With James Duthie of TSN. With the other three series, what's the number one thing you're looking at most? If you take Battle of Alberta away because that's the biggest story, what's the next biggest story combined between all three series that you're looking at?
I mean, it would probably be Tampa, Florida, just because Florida was the best team all season and Tampa's the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. But to me, I think that St. Louis, Colorado, just because I think that St. Louis, you can't really call them a sleeper. They only won the cup, 3 years ago or whatever the heck it was. But I think that they have the potential to win the Stanley Cup, and they were probably one of the least talked about teams, I think, coming into the playoffs. And what they did to Colorado last night, I mean, they played fantastic hockey. And so I think that's probably the most interesting thing is Colorado sees, I think most people just punched Colorado right into the Western Conference Final without thinking too much when they were doing their brackets or their pools or whatever. And I think the Blues have a chance to pull something off here. That would be, I don't think shocking. It shouldn't have been shocking, but I think a lot of people will be surprised by it. I'm not saying, I'm not predicting. I still took Colorado in the series, but I think the Blues have a chance to really make this, a long seven-game type series.
PGA Championship underway, second round across TSN, Southern Hills Country Club out in Tulsa. How big of a blow is it this week? Is it a blow this week that Phil's not there defending his title?
It is, I guess. Although, the chances of him actually contending again, I think last year was lightning in a bottle, and it was an incredible story. And I've never been a Phil fan. I've never really liked him, but I got caught up in it last year. I really rooted for him because how can you not? In a situation like that, when he does something that nobody over 50 has ever done before. But I just think there's enough. Tiger, as soon as Tiger's there, Phil is, Phil is kind of, it's kind of sums up his career. He's always been the second fiddle or the afterthought to Tiger. So as soon as Tiger was showing up at that tournament, I don't think Phil really mattered that much. And plus there's so many other good storylines with, Rory, even that group with Rory and Tiger and Spieth and everything. There's so many good players right now that I think, yeah, it would have been cool to see him there. I would have liked to have a news conference and have him answer all those questions. I think he should have done that a long time ago. But I don't think he's really missed.
For Rory, is that not one of the top storylines, like for him to finally be able to win another major? It's because it's 2014 last one.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Sitting tied for second right now, he's a shot back of Justin Thomas. But it just would be a good story to see Rory win once again.
It really would. It's not, it's not the Masters, which everybody looks to him to complete the career Grand Slam, which he's been trying to do for whatever it is, 8-9 years now. But you're right. It's been a while. And the one thing, the thing about golf, unlike all the other sports, is some guy wins, right? And you think, like when Rory won his majors sort of within a chunk of 3 years or whatever, you thought, okay, this guy's going to win 12, right? And then when Koepka won his 4 or 5 or whatever in that short span, you're like, oh, this guy's going to win 10. And then even, Morikawa, when he won the Open Championship a year or so ago. And then you realize it's so hard. There's so many good players that, a guy like Colt, I think he'll probably win again, but Morikawa could go the next 6 years without winning one. And Rory could finish his career without winning another one. I don't think that'll happen, but it's possible. because every time you're starting a tournament like this with 130 guys and, you know, there's 50 or 60 of them that have a realistic chance to win. So it's hard to win a major championship. And I think sometimes when these guys go through their stretches, when they're the best player in the world, and that's kind of where we are in golf now, where people take turns. Like DJ looks unbeatable for an 18-month span, and Rom looks unbeatable for an 18-month span. They just kind of take turns that way, that you realize it's really hard for these guys to win. So that's a long-winded way of me saying I think it would be fantastic if Rory was back in on Sunday afternoon.
Well, as you're saying that, though, like in my mind, the first thing that came up, too, goes that just shows how great Tiger Woods was. Because
He
just kept dominating and he kept winning week in and week out. Now we're seeing all these so many good younger golfers that have come up. They have Spieth even had his moments where, you know, you're looking, this guy's going to dominate for so many years, but then it's someone else that comes in and they can't dominate for the stretch that Tiger Woods did.
100%. And we'll never see it again in our lifetime. Like if you actually sit down and look at those numbers and, you know, the amount of, you know, straight top fives he had, and it's ludicrous. And I really don't think we'll see another player like that in our lifetime because the quality of the fields are so good. And what we're seeing now is what we'll see. You know, there's always hope that somebody comes along, but I think that's the way it's going to be is, 2025, there's going to be sort of 5 to 10 players who are at the top of the world and another 10, 15 guys who are really good, and they'll just take turns winning.
James, you go get a nap in to get ready for that late start tonight. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, I'm due for my early bird supper in about 25 minutes, and then a good nap, and put the dentures back in and get on the set. Thanks, Maddie.
Well, talk to you later, James. There's James Duthie. Again, TSN Canada's anchor, brought to you by Fuse Kitchen and Bar. Join a fine dining experience while watching the game at Fuse Kitchen and Bar, now open in Century Park. Try the smoked old-fashioned. A couple texts coming in. Boys, this beer-to-water ratio thing, math equation based on age. Nate, 18, no water necessary. If you're 20, start mixing them in. 25, 3-1. If you're 30, 2-1, and so on. If you switch to light beers, you could tip the odds, though. Keep your light beards, your rock hard, and your stick on the ice. Goyle from E-Rock. Maple Jed says, you're doing it all wrong, guys. It's about how much mix is in each drink. Start mixing them week to start, and by OT, there shouldn't be any mix in them at all. Let's go oil. But at the question to Maple Jed, I'll have to throw back at you. What about those drinking their beer? What about those drinking their, for me, seltzers? I love my seltzers. Always love my seltzers. If you're drinking the hard liquor, I get that. That's a good strategy. But what if you're not? What if you're drinking the beers? Where's your strategy on that? He's Jeff Walker. I'm Matthew Wanick. When we come back, we'll continue in the James H. Brown inbox at 10:12:60. We'll continue talking Oilers Flames. Jeff, we'll get him to give us the lines one more time from what we saw at the morning skate from the Oilers. Is it what we're going to see tonight? I don't have the answer to you because I don't know what Jay Woodcroft's thinking. We'll find out at 8:50 later tonight, but we'll tell you how the Oilers skated, and we'll catch up with Gabriel Batar, forward with FC Edmonton. That's all to come in the final segment of the Dave Jamieson Show right here on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Funk Friday here on the Dave Jamieson Show. Mattawanek, Jeff Walker with you for one more segment. Oilers Flames game 2 tonight down at the Saddle Dome. Puck drop around 8:50. Don Wheaton, GM White pregame show. Tom Gazzola, Connor Halley, Matt Cassian, 6:30. We'll get you set for that game. Then Jeff's back with Tommy postgame. Game 3 gets going on Sunday just after 6 o'clock down at Rogers Place. Momentarily, in a bit, we'll get to Jeff telling you the lines for morning skate. But Sunday is a perfect day. The series shifts over to Edmonton. Game's at 6 o'clock. It's a perfect day for sports because it's also going to be a beautiful day. Sunny, 17 degrees. You don't have to work on Sunday, and you can do a doubleheader of sports as you got the Eddies at 2 o'clock down at Clark, taking on Atletico Ottawa. Then head somewhere else, have a bite, or head wherever you're going to go watch the Oiler game. If you're going to the Oiler game or if you're going to Moss Pit, you then head to Moss Pit. A perfect fun day for planned where you can watch some footy, you can watch some Oilers. What a great day for the Sunday. With that, we will catch up with Gabriel Batar right away from FC Edmonton, a forward with them. The other thing that is going on today at 6 o'clock, just a reminder, we got a pre-game show for you before, between the Jason Greger show and the Don Wheaton, Jim White pregame show. But let's talk some football, which Again, 2 o'clock, FC Edmonton, Atletico Madrid. Gabriel Bitar from FC Edmonton joins us. And Gabriel, appreciate you taking some time and joining us today. And I just want you're from Ottawa. You're going to be taking on Atletico Ottawa on Sunday. Have you ever taken on, I know they're a newer club, but have you ever taken on Atletico Ottawa? If not, does that mean anything to you, taking on the hometown team?
No, yeah, it'll be, thanks for having me first and foremost. No, this is my first time playing an Ottawa professional team, so yeah, it's going to be very exciting for me, and yeah, I'm just looking forward to it.
When you look towards the match on Sundays, you take on Atletico Ottawa. You guys do sit a few points back of them in the standings. What's the key, do you think, for you and the Eddies to find a way to have success down at Clark, a place that you guys have been pretty good at, especially earlier in the campaign, of, you know, making it difficult for teams coming in to take points?
I think we just got to stick to our defense structure, stick to our game plan, because I feel like we've been in a lot of games, we've competed in a lot of them, and we just haven't gotten the results we wanted. But we have been playing some good football, so I think we just got to keep our heads high and keep playing the way we've been playing.
You mentioned not getting the results you necessarily want, and you know, sometimes when you're not getting those results, it's very easy to focus on the negatives. You mentioned, you know, that there are some positives here. When you look at the positives that you guys have had this year, what do you look at? What are the things that you guys are doing really well and could keep building off of as you move forward throughout the rest of your campaign?
Well, one thing I love about this team is that we keep fighting. We've been down a couple of games by a goal or two, and we always find a way to claw our way back into games and make it competitive, which is a very hard thing to find in football. And we've got a group of guys that are really motivated and committed to make this team to win games. So I think as long as we have that hunger and that desire to win, we'll be good for the rest of the season.
With Gabriel Bitar, FC Edmonton. For you, for people that don't know you, how would you describe yourself as a player?
I just love football. I like to get on the ball. I just love being on the pitch, man. Like, there's not, every time I'm on the pitch, I'm smiling, and I'm not worried about anything else. And I'm a very energetic player. Like, I like to move a lot, get on the ball. I like to attack. I'm very direct, which fits into our style of play, which I love. And yeah.
With the team, like, do you have a specific role that you need, must focus on when you're on the pitch with the team, or mostly is all 11 guys, well, I should take the goalie out of this, all 10 guys kind of, you all have to do everything if you're going to want to find success?
Well, yeah, so coach always says everybody defends on the team and everyone has their role. So when we're attacking, you know, everyone's attacking, we're all getting forward, and we're defending, everyone's defending. But there are certain players that we look to get on the ball. Like, we have very talented forwards like Toby, Julian, Cairo. We have some very direct players, Masta, that like to get on the ball. So obviously when they get on the ball, we look to move more for them.
With Gabriel Bitar of FC Edmonton, you mentioned Toby Worszewski. I got to go back to early, in the first match of the season, he had that beautiful Paisel kick to get the equalizer. What did you make of when you saw that? Could you believe it at that moment that that's the way you guys were equalizing? What was your thoughts at that moment?
I kind of paused for a little bit. I couldn't believe he'd score a goal like that. I mean, like, you see professionals and stuff do that on TV, really. So when you see it in live person, you kind of just, like, admire what just happened. So, yeah, when that happened, we were all kind of just going crazy.
And also, just one last one. Next Saturday, it's a big match in football, as you got the Champions League final, two perennial champs, you know, meeting with Liverpool, yeah, taking on Real Madrid. What's your take on that match, and who do you think's going to come out with the trophy?
I love certain players on Real Madrid, but I'm a Barca fan, so it's hard for me to vote for to go for Madrid. But I would like certain players on Madrid to win it, but I'm going to have to go Liverpool.
Who are those players that you like on Madrid?
I like Karim Benzema, Luka Modric. Those are like the two main players that I love watching. So if they were to win, I wouldn't be too sad, but obviously, as a Barca fan, you never want your rivals to win.
No, absolutely. I'm a Manchester United fan, so I want Real Madrid to win so Liverpool doesn't. Gabriel, really appreciate the chat. Really appreciate the time. All the best with the match against your hometown team on Sunday.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You as well. Gabriel Bitar of FC Edmonton. Again, 2 o'clock kickoff. Clark, Oilers at 6 o'clock. perfect doubleheader day if you're looking for things to do, whether you're with your buddies or with your family. Yeah, it's going to be a good day. Jeff, I'm going to throw to you right now. And you were doing some other work, so I'm kind of catching you off guard. But let's get to the Oilers lines from earlier today. Once again, maybe this is a smokescreen. Maybe these aren't what we're going to see later tonight. But we can only go with what the Oilers skated with earlier today. And what did the Oilers look like down at the Scattle Dome earlier?
So they had Connor and Kane alongside Devin Shore. Now Shore is there for Leon on that line. RNH, Puljujärvi, and Hyman. Fogle, McLeod, and Yamamoto's your third line. Ryan, Archibald, and Cassian on the fourth line. Defensive pairings, Nurse and CeCe, Keith and Bouchard, Kulak and Broberg. Russell was the seventh defenseman. And then Tyson Barrie was not on the ice because it sounds like he's got a bit of a bug, Matt.
Yeah, Rashog saying under the weather, conserving energy. He will be available for tonight's game. I got to go back to they have to have a better start. I'm not going to bet they're going to have a great start. The only thing for the Oilers, though, is if they have that bad start, is it one where, or is the puck going to the back of the net or not? You know, you could have that bad start where it doesn't hurt you, where you're not trailing and you're having to play from behind until you finally get your feet going and you start getting into the game. But based on what we've seen in these playoffs, I think it's easier to bet against this Edmonton Oilers team from having to that start. I also really want to see them stay away from the Calgary Flames, trying to bait them into penalties, bait them into goading them into various extracurricular activity, because that's where the Flames win. And we did get a text in the James H. Brown inbox earlier, 10-12-60 from James H. Brown. Alberta Andrew Lawyers, when accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. How about this? How about the Oilers initiate some of that stuff instead of reacting to it? There's no bite. There's no meanness in their game. And in order to win this series, you need that. Jeff, you mentioned that on Wednesday. You wanted the Oilers to be the team that was more the aggressor as opposed to trying to react. The one thing I would say, though, is, and why I'm against the Oilers initiating a bunch of that, some of it I'm okay with, but a bunch of it is, that is the Flames game. And I think you then play into their hand, and they're more than welcome to have that. They're more than welcome, the Oilers initiating things, because they could get into that, and you could get a Tkachuk or a Lucic involved a little bit more to try to really mess with the Oilers. So I get the rationale behind that. I just still think that's not the way the Oilers are built or we're going to have their success. That, for the most part, you need to stay away from some of that stuff, and that's going to bother the Calgary Flames and maybe get them off their game while you focus, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, on your own game.
What do you think about this quote from Evander Kane earlier? If they're going to go after our top guys, we're going to go after their top guys.
How many times have Oilers fans said the exact same thing?
Yeah.
I'm good. Like, if there's dirtiness, if there's some of that, I'm cool with that. That I'm okay with. And you need to protect your top guys. And I do believe when you're protecting your top guys, one of the best ways to protect your top guys is to go after the other top guys, the other team's top guys. Give them a taste of their own medicine. Because that top player, if you go after your Gaudreau or something, he's going to look down his line and go, well, it's because of you guys. I'm now having to deal with stuff because of what you guys are doing. But I like that that's an attitude from Evander Kane, because Oilers fans have been saying that for I don't know how many years. Probably a decade, if not more, I could probably argue when it comes to that. And to have someone in the locker room say the same thing, I think that's the way you go about it.
And hopefully the rest of the locker room picks up on that and they actually make that happen. That's the one thing that has driven me the most nuts about the Oilers so far, not just against Calgary on a couple days ago, but also in the last series. Finish every single check. This is the playoffs. Put them into the boards. I've seen too many players that just kind of skate past the guy after they make the play. No, go after them. Lay the body every single time you have an opportunity to do that. That is what makes playoff hockey. If you're not willing to do that, then why are you on the team? You're not doing what you need to do to help this team be successful.
A few more texts I want to read before we wrap up the show. Kane writing checks his teammates can't cash. The thing, though, is Kane can cash his own checks. Like, he's that type of player. So, you know, I have no problem with Kane also saying that, because if somebody's going to go cash those checks, he's one of those guys that you would think would go do it. Don't initiate with Lucic or Tkachuk. You target Johnny. And then we're talking about pace yourself today, everyone. It's a long time till puck drop. You got to get through the whole game afterwards. We're not done till about 11:30 today. Long weekend, a Friday. Nicer weather out. Just pace yourself. And this text comes in. Guys, while mixing a water is a good strategy, it's really about pacing the number of standard drinks over time. A standard drink is one beer or 5 ounces of wine or 1.5 ounces of hard liquor. For most people of average weight, 2 to 3 standard drinks per hour is a good pace. Water or soda is really just something to occupy your hand between standard drinks. Avoid sugary mixers from the guy who peddled liquor for 40 years. Pace yourself. Jeff, you've got the post-game show later tonight. When you guys are doing the post-game show, are we talking the tied series or is it 2-0 for the Flames?
Well, since I called the Oilers in 5, I'm going to say it's a tied series tonight, Matt.
Pace yourself, mix in a water. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a fun night. I'd like to thank our guests today, Tyler Remchuk from a Daily Faceoff Oilers Nation, Tom Gazzola, who have the Don Wee and GMO White pregame show at 6:30 with Connor Halley, James Duffy of TSN, and Gabriel Batar of FC Edmonton. They're on the pitch 2 o'clock on Sunday. Thank you to everyone who tuned in for the last couple of hours and throughout this week, and everyone who texted in. Sorry to those that I couldn't get to in the inbox. Enjoy game 2 tonight. Enjoy game 3 on Sunday. Have a wonderful long weekend. On behalf of Jeff Walker, I'm Matthew Wanick. I will chat with you on Tuesday.